When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Yo, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts, get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear's a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive innit, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Okay, welcome to the Wolf and Owl.
Yo, one soars down and one runs fast. A wolf, a owl, they're gonna have a laugh.
Don't ever, ever do that again.
Why? Well, I quite like that vibe.
That's the sort of thing that I get asked to do on panel shows a lot.
What, right?
I'll do so. Yeah, they'll go, so we're thinking you could just maybe do a rap about your experiences on the show.
Oh my God.
You could either pre-write it or like have a think on the title. And then what happens is in the past, because I got nervous and I didn't want to be a difficult guest, I would say, yeah, okay.
Oh, no, you didn't, did you?
No, I have done it a couple of times. It's like, hey, oh my gosh, play to the whistle. Really spiky, a bit like a thistle. Talking about football with Frank Lampard. Sometimes, I've got to be honest, it's quite hard. And then, or some shit like that. I've just made that up. Right?
You should have thrown it. You should have got Dave Spikey as a guest.
Yeah, that would have been ideal. And then it ends, and then you get a round of applause because you've stopped rapping. And then in your heart, in your heart, you know, that was absolutely fucking awful.
You've done it quite a few times on League of Their Own, haven't you?
Oh God, I have done it in League of Their Own. I've done it once yeah. I did do it once in League of Their Own. But
the Stormzy one was actually pretty cool. To be fair, that was, it looked incredible.
Well, that was, let's should we be absolutely honest about that? The reason it looked incredible is because the production values. It was nothing that the
Like, but you both looked in costume. You looked good as well. If I was going to release a rap song or like a sort of hip hop sort of funky tune, I think it would go, I'd do something like, "Yo, Rami's got a big dick, but he don't know what to do with it."
Mm. Do you know, I know that you think that the rapping was cringe, but I cringed when you said hip-hop funky tune.
Yeah, but that's what I want out of it. I want a hip-hop funky tune. Yeah. How would you, as a connoisseur, as like, you're like the Grace Dent of hip-hop, right? And music, right? How would you describe a really cool tune you liked, a really edgy tune you liked?
Oh, I don't know. Let's just go, that's a really good tune.
No, because like, I know you put pictures up, and it's like now within the community of hip hop, it's kind of cool if you put a picture up of a song you like. And it's just,
I think, you know, sometimes when you watch like sort of nature shows when they're set in like, sort of in the plains where you see lions, kind of, and then you see the lion get excited when like it's like one of the gazelles is injured or something like that. That's the kind of vibe that you've got now, where you're sort of, you've decided to open up on this hip hop thing, and you're sort of circling, just thinking I'm about to fucking go for this fucking throat now. You've sort of injured my leg. I'm sort of limping a bit. You're pouring at me a little bit, knowing that you're going to... By the way, I can't believe I dropped the C-bomb in that context. It was so brutal. Apologies.
Get it beeped out. But Listen, man.
Listen, I've got to say this. I'm in York at the moment, right? I called an audience member within a minute of the show starting.
What?
Yeah, bad. Wow. Really bad. Bad form from me.
Wow.
Really bad form.
What happened? Was it the heckler?
He sort of heckled quite innocently, but it was an overexcited heckle.
I had it the other night when I was gigging in Cambridge. I was comparing, and in the second half, there's just this guy who I wouldn't even call it heckling. He just was so overfamiliar, like so chatty in the front row, and actually like not saying anything harsh. But it was like three times he interjected before punchlines with his own punchline, and it's like it was a big audience. It was like a lot of people there, but it was like genuinely like I'm gonna have to kind of deal with this because. Like, otherwise, it's just going to happen all night. So I sort of like started chatting to him and tried to sort of like say, look, you know, let's have a chat about you, get everything out about you because you clearly want to make tonight about you. And he was just so vanilla and sort of quite beige, but you're so excited just to be there. I felt so harsh.
Yeah.
But then also, you're there with a job to do. I mean, dropping a C-bomb within a minute's quite.
I know, that was. Well, to be fair, I got away with it because it wasn't. I didn't say it in a really aggressive way, but as soon as I said it, I thought that is a break glass in case of emergency word.
Yeah, really.
So, like, well, look, touch wood, on this tour, I've not had a horrible heckle. When you used to do the clubs, you'd get like heckles where people were just like, they would just say something to throw you off or whatever. But these heckles, I think, are people being overexcited. But like your bloke there that you're talking about, who's actually probably he's not trying to be disruptive, but he doesn't get it that it's not helping. Right?
I think it's people making society out of that heckling thing, like it's a part of the job. It's like singing along to a song, and it's not.
Well, mate, I had it once in. I was doing a show in Leicester, and this bloke would not. I was comparing. It wasn't even a show. I mean, it was a show, but it was a mixed bill show I was hosting, and this guy was like shouting. Like every time I said something, he'd get involved, and I was like absolutely like. Like really laying into him, and like it wasn't awkward, it was funny, but he made my job a lot harder that night, right? Because every time I said something, he would get involved and blah blah blah, and I just wanted to move the show on and wanted to get the acts on and stuff like that, but most of my time on stage was spent dealing with him. And then afterwards, like, I came off and I was like, you know, literally going to the other acts, fucking hell, that bloke was difficult. And he comes up to me and he goes, that was amazing, wasn't it, you and me just like bouncing back and forth off each other. And like, he thought he was like contributing to the show. And I was like, mate, that was a nightmare for me. Not, I didn't say that. Yeah. I absolutely didn't say that. That would have been awful. But you know, when people, that bloke that was talking to you, he doesn't realise, and people don't realise, and you have to bear that in mind as a comic. Like, sometimes, I don't know if this happened to you with this bloke, but the times when it's really, I find it really sort of annoying, I guess, or just upsetting for the crowd or for the show, is when you build up that tension of the setup and you're just about to drop the punchline and somebody says something, right? Because what they do is like they're taking the air out of the bubble, the balloon that you've just blown up, right? And so like you basically, you can't say this to them because it would just be so wanky. But basically what you want to say to them is you've sort of ruined all the work I've done up to that point.
You know what it's a bit like?
You know, all of this routine was built up to this and then you just like stepped on it. But they don't know. You can't be like that. They don't know.
But also it's a bit like, you know, at the fair you get those things where you've got the little loop and you've got the metal thing that you just pull it all round, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's like if you're doing that, and you're going through all of that and just as you get to the end, some prick runs up and tickles you, right?
Yeah,
that's essentially what it is like.
Actually, that's a great description of what it is.
Talking about it just before we came on air, but I had a thing yesterday where...
On air?
Oh, no. Just before we came on air? Oh, God. Genuinely, that's the... I actually feel like my stomach's just fucking dropped out my arsehole. I feel so fucking on air. God. You know what I feel there? Old. I feel old.
Well, what I've realised now is you think these go out live.
I feel so old saying that. Like a crusty old man.
Thanks for tuning in to the Wolf and Owl podcast.
All right, I'll say just before we started the podcast that my pal phoned me up, a group of mates yesterday, and they were asking for tickets to go and see you, but they were already proper wavy when they called. They were like steaming, and he couldn't get his head around why I wouldn't sit like, you know, that. You'd be like, look, what you needed in your gig last night was a backup of five smash blokes who are on a weekender in York. Absolutely steaming.
Yeah. One of the things I didn't realise about York, first of all, what a beautiful place.
Incredible. Right. Incredible.
What a place, man. What I did not realise, I went for lunch yesterday with a couple of friends.
Nice.
Shout out the Source vegan restaurant in York. Insane. I had like this VFC Zinger burger.
Nice.
Which was unreal. I had frickles, which were deep fried battered pickles. Unbelievable.
Wow, that sounded amazing.
Yeah, and I had a vegan eaten mess for dessert. I mean, I only had a bit of it because I was really full up. I just had it for the taste. But great restaurant. Anyway, that's not the reason.
Meringues made out of chickpeas or something. That is how they make meringues.
I think it's aquafaba, isn't it? Yeah, or whatever, the chickpea war. Yeah. Sounds absolutely wrong.
But actually, you know what? They make incredible meringues. I've got to shout out chickpea water for.
But what I didn't realise was how staggy and henny York can be on a weekend.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would say more. There were loads of Hindus. So many, man. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Just like, literally, I came out of lunch. This is so boring what I'm talking about. Anyway, I went to get some throat recovery tea because my voice is going out.
Okay.
And as I walked to Holland and Barrett, 20 women walked past me wearing plastic glasses with penises on the front.
You know what? That's one group. I was genuinely worried that Hindus and stag doos were losing that edge.
Oh, God, I know. You're so passionate about hen and stag doos, aren't you?
No, yeah, but I worry that they're going to get too classy.
What do you mean?
But, you know, the penis glasses and the sort of, like, guy running around with it.
You like the penis glasses?
Yeah. And the inflatable blow-up doll that sort of gets thrown around and, you know, invariably ends up in bed with the most drunk guy, right?
Yeah.
I think that they're important parts of sort of stag and hen doos. I think there should, you know, look, there should be an embarrassing story about someone at each of these things for the wedding.
I really disagree.
What?
I really strongly disagree. But I mean, look, the truth is, you and I both know of the two of us, I am very much the wet blanket of the group.
We all know part you're on. Man, there's a fucking guy here who fucking hits up Bacardi and drives around in a Ferrari. Now, that's a better rap.
That's a better funky tune.
Wait. I bet on a stag do, I bet you cut zip and you fly wild.
I mean, look, don't get me wrong. I do enjoy, like, having a few drinks and stuff. But, like, more stereotypical?
You know, yeah, I was genuinely worried that the me saying about us being on air, right, was going to be the cringiest thing that either has said on this podcast. Until you came flying in double-footed and said, no, don't worry, I could beat that with, no, I do enjoy having a couple of drinks and stuff, obviously.
Now, listen, I have a couple of drinks with the best of them, you know, and sometimes I've been known to swear more than usual and say a couple of things about friends that they weren't that keen on.
But whether it's at home with Lisa or the kids, or on a stag do, you can always guarantee that party Ron will be in bed by 10:30.
Yeah. But what I'm going to just say this now, and I know this is an insult to the very core of who you are. The embarrassing pranks thing can just fuck off.
Really?
I can't stand it. I don't find it funny when it's being done to someone else. I certainly don't find it funny when it's done to me.
You haven't got to worry. You're married now.
It's done to
me. The only time now is when it's...
Yeah, but I still have an empathy for the poor fucking guy that's having an apple core stuffed up his arse.
When we go on Theo's stag do, that's going to be where it's like...
You are not. Listen, let me tell you something now. You're not coming on Theo's stag do, and if that kid's got any sense, I'm not going on his stag do either.
Mate, it would be so fucking cool if we were all there for him. Like, my mate James, right, he had all of his dad's friends were there. It was like, there was different generations, different people bringing different flavours to the stag do.
Yeah.
I always like it when I see a stag do and I go, oh my God, he's invited his dad and his dad's mates. That's pretty funny.
One of the worst memories of my life is being in the same room as my father when a stripper turned up.
Was that in the pub or...?
Yeah, that was in the pub. Like I can't remember what it was for. I think it's like a mate was having, like, you know, sometimes people have two stag do's where they have one where, well, it doesn't matter, but people do have two stag do's. And like one of this guy's stag do's was at my dad's pub. And then this stripper turned up as a surprise thing. And just, I reckon I looked at my dad's face more than I did the stripper just to see. I just wanted to, it's like driving past a car crash. Do you mean I sort of the fear of seeing what my dad's like when he's sort of visually aroused?
Just as a quick one as well, if we are going to go to any of Theo's or any of the boys, Alex or Charlie, if we're going to go to their stag do's, make sure that we get invited to both, not just the English ones.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they're like just Theo and his group of mates just trying to enjoy a stag do, and us going, no, we used to do a podcast actually, big it was. We had merch. We did live shows, yeah. Has Theo mentioned it? Oh, he hasn't. No, I am his dad, yeah. No, I am his dad.
No, he's my mate Tommy.
What did he say? He didn't say that.
Weird old security guard who's turned up. Wheezy old man.
Now, Tom, listen, I don't like to do handbrake turns in this podcast, but Night Ninja, talk to me.
Yo, can I just shout out someone? Incredible. Amazing. So we last, I'd say, maybe for the last month, we've been struggling quite a lot with Grace's sleep. Like literally doing little 45-minute, half an hour, sleeps, wakes, freaks out, can't get back down to sleep for about another hour or so. It's been hard. So shout out our friend, James Gill, Gilly, the Gillmeister, put me in touch with the Night Ninja. And my word, within 5-6 days, an absolute game changer. Like last, I feel like literally back to myself today. I mean, look, I don't touch wood, it lasts and lasts. And what she does is set you up with a sleep plan that can work. But yeah, man, it's like Grace last night, this morning, I had to wake Grace up at 7:20 because she was trying to sleep in on a Sunday.
Yeah.
It was.
Why did you have to wake her up?
Well, I had to get up and like just, you can't let her sleep. She might have slept till like 8 or 9.
Right.
I mean, she wakes up, but it's look, the thing about it, I don't want to really get into the, because the worst thing you can do, and what I've had the habit of doing, is listening to stuff when I'm not an expert and then trying to take that.
And then you don't want to half-ass.
No. So I don't, like, I'd say to any parents out there who are struggling, get in touch. It's not a really, really expensive thing. It's not at all. By the way, this isn't a product, I've paid for this. It's a service I've paid for.
Tom, listen, just to be absolutely clear, Tom has paid for this. Via a series of Instagram posts, all right? So please, can you not...
No, not faithfully for this. She's someone who's making her way in the world, and I think she's genuinely, like, amazing to deal with, really cares. So I'd say that if you are struggling, and it is a struggle at times, me and Catherine spent quite a long time where we didn't want to get someone to come in and help because we were worried about asking for help, and we were trying to sort of think, oh, it'll be another day or another 2 days, and we'll turn a corner, and days became weeks, and you know, it started affecting our relationship, started affecting my work. You know, it got to a place, you know, because sleep's so important. I think that's the thing that you sort of, like, when you're not getting a full night at all, you're literally getting an hour here and an hour there. It's different from, all right, I've only had 4 or 5 hours, literally getting an hour, you know. So, you know, the little lady is smashing sleep now. I mean, yeah, she's a little rascal.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Do you know what I'd like? I'd like an adult Night Ninja, because it's been brought home to me by the fact I've been in this hotel. I've had to get up because I've got tour shows in the evening. I mean, I've got up for the podcast, but like, I'm just not good at sleeping. They call it sleep hygiene. I think my sleep hygiene's bad. Like, you know, like.
There is people who do it, man.
Yeah. I need to get my sleep game
better. You know what?
Even if I don't have something to get up for, so basically during the sitcom, I've been getting up at 5 every morning, right? Yeah. And you sort and like so you, as that happens over the weeks, you sort of get more and more tired. I mean, you look forward to having a full, you know, not having to get up at that time, and then I just get up at that time anyway, or I'm up through the night or whatever. It's mad. It's crazy.
Yeah, there is people that do it, man. Like even this morning, I was I was up at like 6:15, 6:30, just because that's, you know, and both Catherine and Grace stepped through to about, 7:25. So, and there's some of that probably was down to me waking him because I was actually so jealous. And maybe I was just really pissed off that I was the only one in the house just sitting up with a coffee inside of him. And I was just actually, maybe my piece of shit elements to my personality have just sort of poured out.
Like what is going on here?
I don't know. Maybe I'm in the meltdown.
What are you doing?
You know, I felt like I was looking for a word that I couldn't find. And I couldn't even make one up that felt like that word I was looking for. I was like, it's like looking for a pair of trainers that I love and I couldn't quite find them.
Mm. Oh my God. But speaking of which, by the way, the number of times I've been looking for a specific shirt or jacket and can't find it, and then that becomes an obsession for me. Yeah. I don't know. If I'm going out, right, if I set my mind on wearing a specific shirt
and I
can't find it in the moment, I've got loads of other shirts. I could just put on one of those and go. I delay leaving because I suddenly become obsessed with where this might have got to. And the theories I entertain as to what might have happened. The other day I asked Lisa if she'd thrown any of my clothes out without telling me. I just can't get past it. I have to find that thing before I get ready. And then sometimes I don't even end up wanting to wear it.
Yeah, when you put it on, you don't feel like it works anyway with what you're wearing.
Yeah.
I become obsessed
with finding this thing.
I did a big wardrobe clear out the other day.
Did you?
Yeah, you know what? I actually feel, I know that it's probably a bit late, but the weather's been all over the place, but I think spring cleanitis has come to me.
What does that mean?
Well, I cleared out the garage yesterday. I feel fucking absolutely, like, outstanding by that. Like, genuinely, like, fucking buzzing. Got a big skip, just got stuck in. So I just threw loads of old shit away that we've been hoarding and holding on to.
Really?
Yeah, but then we've got new neighbours as well. We've got a person who's worked, moved, like, two or three doors up. And I did that thing to try and look cool. This is actually really, yeah. So he he's moving in, and at the front, everyone yesterday was at the front of their houses, right? Because there's a new neighbours coming in. So all of a sudden people are washing cars, mowing lawns, people are fucking tending, just doing shit that they haven't done, right? So I make this observation to Catherine. We have a bit of a laugh about it, right? I'm like, look at everyone out, knows you fuckers, because, you know. Anyway, the guy comes down. Says hello. He's like, oh, hi, man. I'm moving a couple doors in. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. I said, everyone saw the moving van, I see. And now everyone's out the front of the house having a little look. And he went, is that why you got a skip? Right?
Absolute fucking mic drop.
Mate, yeah, fucking absolute. Yeah, fucking nailed me. Right? And I just sort of went, no. We had this booked in for ages. And then he sort of laughed. And he was clearly having a bit of banter. Good guy for banter. In my mind, though.
You know, it's Lee Mack moved in two doors.
In my mind, though, I'm like, this guy's now fucking, he's put me in with everyone else in the neighbourhood.
Of course he has, yeah. Because you did that classic thing of, you did a really dick move of trying to separate yourself from the rest of the street and elevate yourself like a fucking cool cat. Oh, hello, mate. Well, I don't know what's up with this lot, even though I'm talking to you out the front here, exactly like them, but I'm trying to separate myself. So you tried to basically fucking absolutely throw the rest of the street under the bus.
Yeah, and it's backfired. And now backfired. I look worse than anyone because I'm the one who sort of...
It reminds me of when Idris Elba takes over at the American office and, like, old Jim's trying to ingratiate himself with him and he just completely fucking backfires.
Yeah, that's the trouble, though, isn't it? It's like when you are in a situation, it's best to stand together with everyone.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great lesson. What a lovely way of taking what you've done and using it as a lesson for all. It's like a parable. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's probably how Jesus works, isn't it?
Yeah, it probably is. Yeah.
Like, when you look at the Bible as a whole book, like, it feels quite like, oh, this is fucking a lot
this
to
is,
read.
This is big even for you to step into this territory, but go on.
No, but you look at it, you go, fucking hell, a lot happened to him. But actually, when you look at it, it's a very small stories that when put together, actually go, oh, actually, fucking hell, that's a better way of living your life.
Yeah, that would be a nice little parable. There was a man stood outside front of his house and a new neighbour perched up upon his land. And this man said unto him, oh, the whole street stand outside to welcome your arrival. I believe they're nosy and gossips. And the neighbour replied to the man,
but hence, do you not stand with the street?
That's exactly the line I was going
to... I had to jump in because it's such a good line you'd set up there. We work in a synergy. That genuinely... Yeah,
no, we don't work in a synergy. You're the type of prick that fucking ruins people's bits on panel shows. I've seen your type before, mate.
Have you ever done that on a pedal show?
I've done it by accident regretted it badly.
I did it early on.
Because the thing is, when somebody's telling a story, you want to help them out, right? And like, a lot of people do want to help people out, right? So not help them out, but do you know what I mean? You sort of like, you just ask questions, do you know what I mean? But sometimes when you ask a question, you're asking a question because you're interested. And then you end up fucking, like, saying the punchline by mistake. I've done that before. Awful.
Mate, do you know the worst time, and I hope, because I know he listens to this, and he's one of both of our dear friends, and I love him, is the worst time I ever saw that happen was, like, really early on in our careers. Me and Ian Sterling were booked to do this, I think it was BBC Three or ITV Two panel show, where, you know, like, the crossover had started of, like, you'd have our generation of comedians, but we'd be on with reality stars.
Yeah.
And, like, Ian was on one team.
That doesn't really happen. Does that still happen?
I don't know. But it was an awful time, man. It was anyway, Ian was on the team, I was in another, and he was on a team with Spencer Matthews from Made in Chelsea. And Ian basically was doing a bit that was really, I'd seen him do it and it was a funny story. And I was like, oh, fucking hell, he's going to nail this because it's a great bit that he's got. And he's managed to get this into this show, right? And through the whole, I mean, we're going back basically to people fucking heckling. Ian, I'm not even going to try and do Ian's accent, but Ian would be telling the story, getting to a bit, and Spencer Matthews would interject with the next bit of the story because he could sort of see where it was going or like sort of.
Right.
And then Ian was going, "Hey, thanks, Spencer." And he'd go, "No problem." It's like a double act, isn't it? And you could see Ian getting more and more annoyed, right? And then, like, Ian got to the punchline, and the punchline, obviously, because Ian's a fucking stand-up comedian, good storyteller, was completely fucking at odds with where the story had been going, and it was like going in a different... But Spencer went with the way that he thought this would end.
Like the route one.
The route one. Interjected right at the punchline and completely fucking killed Ian's story. And I remember sitting there, like, looking at... Like, my heart just going out for... Like, I remember me and Ian went out for drinks after, and we were both like, is this what TV is now? Like... Like, you've got to basically sit there. And, like, no one fucking stopped and went, Spencer, mate, let him have his moment. Like, everyone in this fucking room and everyone on TV knows you, Spencer Matthews, because you're a reality star. At the time, no, me and Ian Sterling were literally just coming off the circuit and we were, let him have his moment. Let him have his moment. Because you know what, Spencer? You are a punchline. You don't need to fuck other people.
Oh, my God. That was a mad thing, is like you'd be on a show and you'd like say something that you thought was funny and it would go to something, and then a reality TV star would say something like, is that a monkey? And then it would get a round of applause.
Oh, mate, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mate, it was an insane...
There's nothing, by the way, before people come at me, I've got nothing against...
Oh, no, I've got really close friends who are, like, you know, people who, you know, fucking hell, Murder and Successful was made by... some hilarious people who are brilliant. And that isn't my... You know, reality TV is... What was difficult at that time...
Yeah, we're just before people... We are not anti-reality TV snobs, all right?
Some of the nicest people I know in this industry are reality. But what was hard at that time was if you were, as a comedian, up and cut... There'd been a long time where panel shows was what comedians were doing. That was the in that we had. Number one, to get yourself known on television and get yourself known to a wider audience.
Yeah.
And they were made for comedians to go and be funny. And all out of nowhere, all of a sudden, you'd be doing that. And, you know, actually, to shout someone out who I actually just, like, I did one with who I actually, loved was Brian Bello.
Really?
Oh, man.
How come?
He's, you know what? We did a pilot together, me and Brian Bello, right? And he was number one, like, that's what I mean. Like Spencer, and I like Spencer, and I've met Spencer through Jamie Lang quite a few times, and he's, you know, he'll have the banter, whatever. But Brian, it was like, Brian was like a perfect comedy character in a sense. Like, he knew what his stick was.
Yeah.
A bit like, you know, when Sean Williamson comes on League.
Yeah.
When someone just comes on, they're just like, I'm not here to fuck with anyone else. I'm going to be funny and I'm going to make this better, right? But we did this pilot, and it was clear that this really, like, middle-class up-themselves producer who come up with this format and was sort of like being so fucking, like, quite rude, but quite sort of, yeah, this is going to be the best thing ever, right? Slowly, as the fucking, slowly as the whole thing fell apart, right, and it was quite clear that this wasn't going to be a series. Oh, God, and
it's horrible.
Brian Bello just leant over to me and he went, he's lost the dressing room. he's got no idea what's going on here. And then throughout the whole thing, I stopped even caring about the pilot. I was just wanted to get Brian Bellows' autopsy throughout the whole thing. It was just like he'd been in TV a lot longer than me, and he'd worked out what had gone wrong.
There's not much that feels worse than being on a pilot that you sort of realise midway through is not gonna go okay.
Do you know what as well? When you're fucking start, I mean, it's still now it happens, but like when you're starting out and you get like, oh, you're going to be a captain on this thing, right? And like, you're like, oh my God, wow, fucking hell. Well, number one, you know that that's not true, because if it does get commissioned, like you'd be sidespit step for a fucking bigger name in comedy, right? But there's a moment of like, sort of like the Kool-Aid, you take a gentle sip, and you kick back and think, oh, this is going to be great. And then you get into the moment the pilot's getting shot and you think, oh, this isn't going to go.
I mean, look, you and I have had an experience where we were doing a thing. It hadn't made it to pilot stage yet. It was a run-through thing that I was hosting and you were on. And,
Oh, God, that thing.
This is great. Oh. And so we're doing this. I won't go into details just because, you know, they're people that, they're people that we like that are involved or whatever. But I'm going to tell you my side of how it went down, right? So we do the read through, the channel come, and like to watch this thing of this panel show. I'm hosting, you're sort of like a comedy turn on it, right? Very good, by the way, obviously, as you always are.
We'll get into that in a minute.
So anyway, we do the read through. I don't know why I keep saying read through, it's not scripted. Do the run through, right? And everyone's really positive afterwards and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it goes off, we go off, and then I don't hear anything. And then one day, I think it was you who texts me going, good news about the pilot or something like that, or like, you know, looking forward to seeing you at the pilot. And then I think, what pilot? Right? Because I've heard nothing. Okay. So then I get in touch with Flo and I go, Flo, just a little thing. Do you know what's going on with this pilot thing? And I think Flo had, I don't know. I can't remember whether she knew or didn't. Anyway, long story short, I get in touch with one of the producers and they tell me that the channel had said they want to take it to pilot with everything as is, with one change.
Oh, man.
That change was me hosting. Like, I've had a few things like that happen in my career, like heartbreaking rejections. And that is up there for me as one of them. To know that they liked everything about that project, but there was one glaring thing that they wanted changed, and that was what I was doing. It was a horrible, horrible... I mean, you know, as things go in the grand scheme of things, it's not the worst thing that's ever happened.
Also, that never made it to series, did it?
No, it didn't in the end, yeah.
Because it was, by the way, can I just say, right, the reason, number one, they I think, got rid of you on that is because fundamentally it was a fucking shit concept, right? But the easiest thing to do, and this is what I'm saying about our industry at times, and we're all probably culpable a little bit for it, instead of going, well, actually, this might need a little bit of work, right? The reason it fell down is because the actual idea itself and the fundamentals behind the idea were flawed, right? But the thing to look at was the person who had to sort of try and run that, go through all of the different games and put the whole thing together, it was easier to go, oh, actually, it might be the person doing that, rather than actually looking at what was behind it. Yeah. And because actually, when the pilot itself, I remember going to do the pilot and it was maybe...
I remember seeing the photos from it. You had a right old knees up, didn't you?
No, it was awful.
Like, I remember you sent me like a little like video of like, cheers, Rom, sorry you couldn't be here.
Shut up, because people would believe that I'd do that. It was absolutely. It was terrible. I remember the other people involved thinking that this is fucking like genuinely like in that. I'd say three or four of the people I'd say are my favourite character comedians.
Oh mate,
people who I think are so incredibly talented, right? But that show was so dog shit, right? Even with them in there and you hosting, it still wasn't good. Like even that night, I remember Ellie White, who I think's. I think Ellie White's incredible. I think she's hilarious.
Unbelievable. One of my favourite people. Funny she's and brilliant,
Well, and successful. She was literally just a joy to have, like, but so fucking funny, right? So when this show was happening, me and Ellie had just done the Chris Kamara episode to come out, right? And they were like, oh, right, you and Ellie can do this thing together, right? So what ends up happening is they change the idea about 10 times that week and four times on the day that we're doing it, right? Right. And instead of going, oh, Ellie and Tom might know what they're doing a little bit when it comes to character comedy, they overly produce stuff. It becomes so cringingly so that by the time you're actually fucking going to do it, you fucking hate the idea. Ellie hates the idea. So by the time you're out there doing it, you're like, you've got no faith in it. And you've got no faith in yourself. Because that's the other thing about, you know, not to get too deep into stuff. I've worked on so many shows where you get, like, you... There's amazing producers in this country, and I'll go as far as to say that I think British comedy and some of the stuff we make is up to the best in the world.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. The good people are great.
Oh, the good people are incredible. But there's people that you can work with in this industry who completely undermine, and they will ruin your confidence. They'll destroy what you think's funny. I had it on a show where I was doing this really in the infancy of my career, and... This producer was so, like, just, like, literally had a go at everything I did to the point where I went, why am I here?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, you know, because the channel wanted you here. And I was like, but you don't want me here. And he was like, well, no, you know, da da da. I was like, if you don't find me, I'd rather just leave the show. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I always thought with that one, it was the everything around it was flawed.
But I do think that's why I think both you and I do this a lot, is that whenever I see or meet somebody that I think is really good, I desperately try and cling on to them and like try and recommend, like, you know, put them forward for.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in a aren't I a great guy way. I mean, I want to work with those people going, because when you find good people, you've got to hang on to them, man. Because it's like people that are good at the job, but also fun to be around, you know, like good to work with. Like those people, you just got to keep getting back in.
It's all about that. And it's all about that in front of the camera and behind the camera as well. I think that, like, everything, pretty much we've kept the same team really from Murder and Successful to now for the curse and everything else we've done.
So, we've gone a bit in there.
Yeah.
Sort of, that was a bit of industry chat, guys.
Who's behind the curtain?
Yeah.
Talking about peeking behind the curtain, if you want to peek behind the curtain into a different world, I've just been reading Barry Hearn, My Life, which is a peek behind the world into Barry Hearn and how he lives his life as a...
What's going on here?
It's an amazing book about an incredible guy. Just want to give him a shout out. If you want to, it's coming up to that summer season where you might need a book. And I'm just saying that this book... If you really want to get stuck into one of the life of one of, you know, I think one of the main faces behind the British sports scene, go no further than Barry Hearn, My Life. And it's all about his life.
Great. Thank you. Look forward to hearing your stint on A Good Read or Between the Covers or whatever they've got. Speaking of good sports books, have you read the Andre Agassi autobiography?
No.
Okay. Listen, you've got to read that book, man. I listened to the audio book. It's fucking great.
Does he read it himself?
And I'm not even a tennis fan, but somebody recommended it to me.
I thought you were a tennis fan for some reason.
Did you?
Yeah, I always genuinely thought you were a tennis fan.
No.
I've seen you at Wimbledon, though.
You've not seen it.
You be honest now. You be honest, my darling boy.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Wimbledon?
I swear on my life, I've never been to Wimbledon. I know you have.
I haven't.
I've definitely seen you in the fucking Evian box or wherever it is.
I'll tell you what, I'm getting tickets 3 years after you. I don't know how this shit works, brother. You're there with fucking Prince fucking William.
No. I love the idea of going to... Listen, Wimbledon's great.
I'd love to go to Wimbledon.
I'm not a tennis fan.
So I don't mind tennis. I like the knockabout, but...
No, I think it's good, but I just think Wimbledon... It's the same thing as us getting annoyed about seeing people at cup finals.
That's what I feel like I'd be doing. Well, the latest one is fucking, isn't it? What's it called? The fucking Chelsea Flower Show.
That's true, actually.
Fuck me, Jesus Christ. There's people there, I'm sorry, but there's people there I really love, right? I've never heard you talk about flowers. I don't think you've even got a fucking garden. But yet you're there and it's insane, like, people just rocking up to these things. Like, and I just think as well, there's some poor old bird or poor old fella or whatever who would love to have been there but couldn't.
Here's the thing, right? Okay, so I'm just going to posit, because I do know what you're saying, and I've complained about this with regards to the World Cup final and stuff like that. But here's the thing. I was chatting to somebody about people going to... Do you remember that thing that with Cecil the Lion, right? Do you remember that guy that shot that lion dead or whatever, right? And then I was talking to somebody about it, and he said to me, has it occurred to you... He didn't say it in that patronising way. He said there was a group of hunters that went out and they went out to hunt an animal, right? I can't remember what it was. And he said they pay tens of thousands of pounds to go and have this experience, right? And he said, you lose a couple of animals, but what you get is thousands of pounds flooding into the area, right? From these like guys that have got loads of money. And he said, there's an argument, and you know, I don't know the ins and outs of this, but I just had this discussion with this guy. There's an argument that the positives outweigh those negatives, right? The reason I'm mentioning this in this context is there an argument that actually what these people, they might not be motivated by this, but is there
enough? I love you to death, right? But I'm going to say something, right? I'll have a look at how long Chelsea fucking flower show has been fucking running, yeah? And I'm sorry to swear, right? It's been running for, I'd say probably around about a century, right? It's a British institution. It doesn't need some loudmouth with fucking 40,000 followers on Instagram rocking up and saying flowers are good. It's a massive part of like the summertime thing. The World Cup final didn't need someone who doesn't like football turning up and going, oh, I can't believe I'm here, but I am anyway. It's an institution. I'm just saying, like, no, I'm saying I'm all for people finding new experiences, but the faux fucking bullshit of turning up and going, oh, I'm really into flowers now, and then about a day later go, oh, I didn't know that you like roses. Well, I don't know like you like fucking poppies or whatever, and they're the only two flowers I know because I didn't go to the fucking flower show because I couldn't give a fuck about flowers. What I'm saying is it's like, it's not about the flower show and it's not about, it's about being seen at something that you think it's like, oh yeah, I need to be there. If I'm not there, what's going to like this, it's not about the flower show. It's not about anything or Wimbledon. It's about someone needing to be there to be seen at something because they think that's the thing that's going to enhance their life and move them up a few rungs of a ladder to be more of a social elite. And it's bullshit.
Mm. It's nice to see how that 8 hours of sleep has chilled you out. No, that's a real different vibe.
No, but I'm like,
sort of, no, I'm joking. No, I'm joking. No,
I just think let people go who want to go. It's my worst thing about our industry and celebrity. It really is.
I know. Cut to the World Cup later on. Tom just like, fucking can't believe
it. At the cricket. It'll be me at the Oval.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's great. This. Someone's just taking a wicket. What's a wicket? Who gives a fuck? I've got free champagne.
Let's do some emails. This is from the Anxious Gazelle.
Wowzers.
Are you ready to emails, by the way? I didn't wait for a response.
Let's do it.
Well, you've looked down now. You're looking at your phone. It seems like you're in a bit of a...
No. I'm just making sure little G's all right. Just checking out on the old monitor.
Is little G okay?
No, she's back asleep. She's having another...
Have you got a... Was that you messaging Catherine, or have you got a camera?
You've got a camera thing. She sends me pictures.
Oh, mate.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. Okay.
Hello to the Wolf, Fowl, Swan and Cat. Thank you for making such a wonderful podcast. I can't tell how much hearing you guys chat every week calms me and makes me laugh. I wanted to see what you thought about the issue of pursuing an ex. I'm nearing my mid-20s and had a relationship with a guy which ended 2 years ago. The breakup was my doing. For context, we were long distance in the UK and I had plans of moving country for a job which didn't go down well with him. I was really upset breaking up with him because we had a loving relationship but didn't feel right at the time. Fast forward a pandemic and moving back to the UK, I bumped into him at a festival recently, which has completely thrown me. All these memories of us together have flooded back and I realise how much I miss him. It also didn't help that he told me at the fest that I have a special place in his heart. I've been thinking about asking to meet up for a drink, but I've also found out he's now seeing somebody. I can't seem to stop thinking about him. And what we had to the point where I'm struggling to concentrate and getting upset while at work. Would it be totally out of order to ask to meet up for a drink despite knowing he's seeing somebody? I feel the ball is currently in his court, but would it be wrong to nudge it along? Thanks again for the excellent pod and for soothing my overthinking head, the Anxious Gazelle. Tom Davis.
Yo, the Anxious Gazelle. You know what? Many, many moons ago, before I was with my beloved wife, I had a similar sort of situation. I think it was through most of my 20s, sort of up until about a year or so before I met Catherine, where I'd sort of met this girl and we'd sort of hooked up a bit, on but we'd sort of we got into a situation where every time that we thought, oh, we can make a run at something, one of us would be in a relationship and the other one wouldn't, and it would just, there would just never be that right moment. And now we're both in a situation where we've both moved on, both very happy, whatever. But sometimes things are meant to be and sometimes things aren't. And I think the thing is about the situation you found yourself in is like right now, and that, like, if he said the special thing, place your heart, but he is seeing someone, I think you kind of got to let that be. And it's hard because you're going to get upset and you're going to feel that. But I think, like, unless he comes through and says to you, you know what, I can't stop thinking about you since I saw you again, and I'm going to, like, let this other person know that, and I'm going to, let's work this out. I think you go into him and saying, oh, yeah, do you want to do this or do we want to do that? For me, I don't think that's right. I think, like, you kind of got to move on with yourself. And that, the thing that you've got and that special relationship you had, that bond that you've got together, it might never work out. It might never be the thing that happens. But it might be saying it's better just around the corner, or, you know, for both of you. And it's just, this thing was never meant to be. But I think I don't agree with giving someone a shout and saying, like, hey, I can't stop thinking about you. Because whatever the score is, he is seeing someone else. And you've got to allow that before you get involved. So that's my advice, Anxious Gazelle. And I wish you luck and I wish you happiness.
Anxious Gazelle, look, this is what this is my take on it. It's possible that he's thinking about you the same way and thinking, I want to get back with her, and I really am sad that we've broken up and she's back in the UK, and maybe there's a way of getting back together. But I do think when you say the ball is in his court, it really is in his court. If he decides that he wants to explore that or pursue that, then you've got to allow him to do that because he's in a relationship. I don't think you nudging it along is the right thing to do. I think you've got to surrender yourself to however this turns out. I don't think you should nudge it along. Look, based on the very sort of scant information you've given us, and by the way, you know, you don't need to be any fuller than you have done, but like, what I'm saying is I'm making assumptions here, but you broke up because you were going to move, and then we've had the pandemic, and then you've bumped into him and, you know, all of those feelings have come back. That is kind of the perfect storm to kind of start missing somebody and feeling like, you know, what could have happened and blah, 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 because you didn't break up because one of you was a shit to the other one. You didn't break up because things didn't work out. You broke up because of this circumstance. Do you know what I mean? And so when you saw him again, you sort of like, I'm assuming here that you're not in a relationship. You sort of go, oh my God, like, this is the first time I've seen this person in all this time. And look, sometimes those things happen. I've bumped into people that I used to see. And if you had a strong bond with that person, you can't help those things coming back. But that doesn't mean that, it certainly doesn't definitely mean that there's something there to explore or see if there's anything further. So I guess what I'm saying, I'm sort of quite waffly about it, is it's possible that he wants to get back with you or he'd like to explore that. But I would say, even if that's the case, you have to allow him to do that. I don't think you should be nudging it along. He's in a relationship. You need to respect him and respect that relationship he's in. But also, in addition to that, the other outcome might be he just meant you've got a special place in his heart because you had a relationship together. And, you know, people that I used to be with have got a special place in my heart. You know, people that I was in relationships with have a special place in my heart, but I'm not going to go and have another relationship with them. Do you know what I mean? So I think you got to do nothing. And I know that's not ideal because you're saying that you're struggling to concentrate and getting upset while at work, but I sort of think you have to go through that, man. It's just like, that is, you know, life does that sometimes. And you know, I think you've got to live with the confidence that it will be fine in the end. Do you know what I mean? It really will be. And that might not feel like that at the moment, but that is definitely true. So good luck, Anxious Gazelle. I feel bad because Tom and I imagine that you emailed us hoping that we were going to tell you to go for it.
But as I always try and say, and I think actually this would make an amazing tattoo, what could be, what is, and that's life, baby.
Okay, I don't know what part of the body you'd have something quite that long on, but okay.
Round the top of your leg.
Round the top of your leg. Yeah. So what people reading it would have to sort of rotate round your thigh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. Okay, this is from the Goofy Giraffe.
Oh, wow. My favourite. Also, Grace's favourite animal. So. She loves
really?
Yeah, she loves giraffes, yeah. I don't know if it's something to do with giraffe. Me.
They just look so fucking made up, don't they?
Yeah.
Giraffe and the duck-billed platypus are up there for me. Somebody must have been on
acid. I asked for a refund once. I went to a zoo and the giraffes weren't around. And they were having a day off or whatever. I don't know why they weren't there.
You mean zoos that rely on visitor money to exist as a conservation space? You asked for a refund?
No, because I went there, right? The hippo enclosure is closed. And there's, I said to the man there, I said, where are the giraffes? And he was like, oh, they're not in today. Like, they work there.
They're not in today?
No. They had a day
what
off.
What does that mean?
Like, if you'd gone into the West End, if you'd gone into the Slug and Lettuce on that Saturday, you'd have seen eight giraffes absolutely smashed having a day off. No, he just said, he was like, no, they're not in today. I was like, well, the hippos aren't here, the giraffes aren't. This is half-baked, mate.
What animals were there?
Like lions, tigers. Right. Yeah. Okay. Dolphins.
All right. So did you get the refund?
No. In the end, he talked me around. No. He said, have you had a nice time? I was like, yeah, but not everything's here that I want it to be.
Are you telling the truth?
Yeah. I get annoyed with little things in life. Bugbears.
Who are you with?
Catherine.
You're with Catherine?
Yeah. It was actually one of our first dates.
Next time I come round, I'm going to give that woman such a hug. Okay.
It's a miracle. We went through a little stage in the infancy of our relationship where I was trying to sort of show myself to be like a little bit more, pragmatic's a word, but I did that one, right, where I asked for the refund. And I think it was on our first date, I complained about this woman giving me the wrong change, right? Quite like, yeah, excuse me.
So you're trying to show yourself to be an assertive, stand-up guy.
But I was skinned at the time as well, didn't have much money. So I'd try and do dates and, but I genuinely thought this woman had shortchanged me, right? And sort of was like, sorry, I'm just going to deal with this. This woman's shortchanged me, right? I made quite a big deal about it. Like, I thought I'd given this woman a £20 note or cut of £20 notes, but in fact, I'd given her a cut of tens, whatever. I mean, this says the level of food that we got up for. Catherine went, oh, no, you definitely just gave her a couple of tens at the end of it. And I was just like, it was so cringy.
I had a similar thing where I took Lisa to go and see Kanye when we first started going out. And I've just got this thing about turning up on time for a gig, right? And like being there for when they. So I was like really sort of, I'm normally like this, right? How I am now, which is like, except for certain situations, which I would say I became your impression of me, right? So I sort of, trying to get over to the O2 and blah, 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 and like sort of getting a bit anxious about how long it was taking. Yeah, the tube like stopped between two stations. I'm starting to get a bit neurotic. And Lisa was like quite honest. She goes, you're quite a different person when you're trying to get to a concert, aren't you? Oh, God. And she didn't say it in a complimentary way. She didn't say, oh, that was really sexy the way you got us to that gig. right, anyway.
Wet yourself on the Jubilee line.
The goofy giraffe. Firstly, I like to say I love the pod and it's the highlight of my week, so keep it up. To set the scene, me and my girlfriend are 4 years, both 21 and at uni, amongst other things, have one big joint passion, food and, of course, eating it. I've always been healthy, but maybe what you'd call a little pudgy compared to my peers throughout school. But as an active kid, I never really had to worry about the food I was eating. However, when I went to uni, I started to eat very unhealthily and gain a lot of weight. At the end of my first year, this is a common story of university students, by the way. At the end of my first year during lockdown, I started to eat more healthily and sort of diet. I don't know why I said that with that much stank. It worked very well and I lost about 3 to 4 stone. I then picked up running just over a year ago. I run 5 times a week, go to the gym regularly. But I'm conscious about my food choices. Ever since I started that diet 2 years ago, I've been forever thinking about how good or bad the food I'm eating is. My girlfriend, on the other hand, does not fuss so much about it. So when we're together, we often eat her regular diet and treat ourselves because being at different unis, we're often only together for the odd weekend. But sometimes I don't want to eat bad things, but I feel obliged to because it's my time with her. I also know if I don't want a sweet, she won't eat it because she will feel that she's being unhealthy as well. But if I do eat the sweets, I feel like I'm doing something bad to myself and just spiral thinking about the weight I could gain from the food. Is this a problem I need to talk to her about, or am I just being silly and letting food control me like this? Because despite being happy with my body, I preferred my old relationship with food. Apologies for the essay, and please, if you could give any wise words of wisdom, it would be really appreciated.
Yo, the goofy giraffe. Number one, I must commend you again on your name because I love it. And actually, weirdly, my heart's open to you, my friend. I would say I think the problem you have is, yeah, it's a university one, but I think also it's a couples one as well. Me and Catherine, certainly at the moment, as I've said about the trying to give up shoot, like we're both in a situation where since Gracie's been here, we're both, because of ease for having a baby, you end up eating a few more takeaways, probably a few more ready meals than we used to. And sometimes our diet choices aren't bang on. I think food is a really, really, really important part of being a couple. I think it's a really important part of a family's life. I think I think it's like the food you eat and the stuff that you like. And I think it's a really important thing. I think, like, for me, some of the happiest times in my relationship, and this might not sound cool, but is like one of us thinking, fuck it, let's just get a Domino's or a Chinese tonight out of the blue, or curry, and whatever food that the foods that we like, and the things that we don't really drink a lot now, and that our little treats, let's go and, get ice creams or whatever. And they're the little moments that I think actually sort of you bond a little bit, and then tiny little things like eating together as a couple is really important. And I think because it's something you're sharing a mutual love of something. Food is at the heart of mine and Catherine's relationship, always has been. For instance, I quarreled with that woman over a restaurant receipt. And I think for me anyway, look, I made a few big life decisions, around about a year ago, knowing that Grace was going to be here and like just my longevity of life. But I train, I make sure that I try and be as healthy as I can. But also I sort of I don't think that should then limit. I think if I'm doing those things, as silly as it sounds, I put up a thing yesterday on Instagram about this fucking helmet who keeps popping up on my stream, who's like ripped.
Want this?
Huh?
Do these?
Yeah, yeah.
What, that guy?
Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why is he on my stream? He literally, like, it's everything that I'm not, right? But the thing about someone like that is, like, that makes him happy, right? And that's fine. And I'm all about finding your happiness. But if it's food that makes you happy and it's food that you bond with your missus with, don't pull that away from yourself. If you're being healthy, you're going to the gym, you're doing your running and stuff, reward yourself and make sure that you pick your smiles where you can, because life is long, and hopefully, and I think you need your treats. You need your, well done, mate, slap on the back, let's go and all, like, have a big ice cream sundae together. Make sure you do that, my friend.
Yeah. I feel slightly nervous about getting into this one, because, like, people's relationships with food and their bodies is incredibly complicated, and we're not really qualified to get into this.
Oh, but wow, nice one for throwing me under the bus.
No, you. No, but sorry. I was about to say. Having said all of that, I do think, Josh, my friend. I do think what you said was spot on. But I think the truth is that you've got a similar thing to what Tom and I have in terms of when you grow up a little bit or you sort of have ongoing body issues. If you manage to maintain some progress, you can become almost a little bit kind of obsessive about it. And I think you training and feeling good about your body is great, but look, I'm going to tell you from my own experience, but I am not somebody to follow, because as you know from listening to this podcast, I have got a series of issues that I'm still yet to unpack and deal with regards to my body. But look, my ultimate aim is not to be completely ripped and like 5% body fat and just like fucking lean as fuck. My aim is to feel okay with my body, but also be able to live a normal life when it comes to like eating and stuff like that. And that's either going to be through, physical change, but more likely that's going to be through mental change, because the truth is Tom and I think I'm, speaking on behalf of both of us, there are psychological issues at play here, which have led to us being as unhappy with our bodies as we have been throughout our lives. Right. And so there is something that you've got to look at in your head with regards to that. That's probably going to get you to a solution quicker than changing your body, because the truth is, whatever level you get to with your physical appearance, if you haven't fixed yourself in your head, you're going to be keeping to go. Well, you're going to keep looking at yourself going, well, I'm still a bit here and I could change this and blah, blah, blah. It never ends. And so I could go on and on about this, but I think the truth is that you need to be able to to be comfortable to eat sweet things or whatever it is you're eating with your girlfriend. You know, you need to be in a place where if you do that, that is okay. You're not seeing her that regularly. You want to be in a position where, look, how I'm living at the moment is I'm trying to eat healthily during the week, but if something fucks up, that's not the end of my healthy eating. I've just had a thing there where I've had like an evening or a couple of days where I've like eaten badly. And then I'll just start again and get back on it, right? And I'm not saying I need to be your role model, but I think I feel like for me, that's a healthier way of looking at it. I've done things in the past where I've become obsessive and I've gone to a restaurant with mates and I've gone, I'll just have this. And that's not even the thing I want, but I just want to just minimize my calorie intake or whatever. And I just don't think that's a fun way to live your life. Do you know what I mean? So I think, look, I think the truth is the fact that you've emailed into us is a sign that you haven't found the balance yet. And I think just tweak it a little bit. And also the other thing that's quite dangerous is you talking about good and bad foods. That's not a thing. Good and bad foods is not a thing. It's like there are no bad foods. There are no good foods. It's all about moderation and balancing this stuff out. So, you know, there's certain things that are in your email that I think psychologically you could have a look at, man. And there's loads of reading that you can do and stuff that you can do to help you with that. So, it's a complicated thing. But I think the ideal would be to be in a position where you're happy with yourself and also able to enjoy yourself with your girlfriend. Like Tom said, you know, enjoying nice food and doing things like that and not worrying about it is what a cool position to be in.
You know, a tattoo you could have on the other leg. Life is like a higher wire, walking on a high wire. It's all about balance.
Would you have that stumble in it as well in the tattoo?
That'd be great, wouldn't it, if you went in and said life is like a high wire and the guy put three H's in. That's how you said it, mate.
What an episode this has been. What an episode this has been.
There has been so many fun times.
I've got to say, Tom, I am my favourite thing about this podcast is seeing you well rested.
Yeah, I feel well rested. I feel, you know what? And this maybe is my ending note, is rest is important and so is sleep. If you take a peer out into a park or into a garden, you'll look at maybe the epitome of this of all time, Mother Nature. You see, sometimes the grass grows and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes the flowers bloom and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you will see bees scamp from flower to flower, just trying to pack up as much pollen as they can to take back to their bee houses.
Wow.
Sometimes you will see wasps and you'll think, what's he up to? But one day the wasp won't be there. You will seldom see a insect save the firefly or an actual normal fly who aren't as cool at night, or actual moths. I don't know if they're insects or not. My point is this. Know when to rest and know when to live your best life. You can't be going for 24 hours. Sometimes you've got to kick back, relax and say, yo, let's go up to Bedfordshire. Let's close those eyes and chill out. Let's know that if we're going to take the life to the max, we've got to lay the tracks by getting that slumber. My friends, my family, my kin, rest up, be sharp. And as always, do you.
When you stumbled on that Max Tracks rhyme, did you get a little bit of a hard on there as you thought, I've got myself a...
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I've almost got an album's worth out of this podcast this week.
You've been doing a lot of rapping on this.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much once again for listening to the Wolf and Our podcast. We will see you very, very...
We should say actually as well, because I think this will be... Our actual full website goes live on Father's Day. When's our Father's Day?
Father's Day 2022. The 19th of June.
All right, so 19th of June. As far as I'm aware, merch and a Wolf and Our website are all going live.
Yes.
You'll find zany clips, of us, and probably that's where you're going to be able to buy it. Can I say about your new album? Anyway, guys, it's been a treat and a treasure. Thank you for digging us out on an island called podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. I mean, if you're listening to this and you think, oh God, I get a lot of out of this podcast, let me tell you something. The two people that get the most out of this the wolf and myself. So for that, from both of us, thank you so much.
God bless you.
Good luck and wherever your voyages take you. And remember, it's not always about the destination. Just tuck in and enjoy the journey. See you later, guys. Bye-bye.
Skate.
Bye-bye.
If you have a problem, opinion, feedback, or anything at all, please email us at wolfowlpod@gmail.com. That's wolfowlpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, mainly because we don't have any content ideas. Thank you.